And also a JD proves that you can work hard, you know some stuff, and you probably are resourceful. So they hired me as an early employee in a venture-backed startup, and that's how I got my start. So just because you don't love something 100% doesn't mean you still can't get the asset and qualify yourself and do the thing and take that asset away and then do something interesting with it, you know?
Hello, hello. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Why Y'all Working. I am your co-host, Michael Ogusanya.
I'm Alair Jameson.
And we have a very, very special guest with us today, Managing Director of the Techstars Equitech program. Flashback year before that, Managing Director of Techstars with some of their DC work as well. Adam Phillips is a long-term supporter of startups from early stage down to companies moving along Series A. This is a man with more interest than, who is it, the Dos Equis guy?
The most interesting man in the world.
Someone that is a friend of mine, hopefully can continue to be a friend of the show and a friend of the Equitech ecosystem. Welcome, Adam Phillips.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Michael. And I see you, Laird. This is a great honor. I appreciate you guys and what you bring to the ecosystem, what you've obviously bring to this, to founders. This is all like, this is the gravy that makes this fun. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. We're excited to like dive in and start with, you know, that question of why do you work as a part of our show? But I'd be amiss if I didn't start with a bit of like mindfulness, like checking in. Seeing how each of us are feeling, how's our day? Alair, you want to kick it off?
Well, you know, the normal 9-to-5-er things as an entrepreneur that does that to pay the bills and also, you know, does our ventures like we're doing here. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, you know, performance reviews a little bit overdue, but kind of figuring out how to do the job that I have now, which is a whole different scape of jobs that I've had before, kind of in a different realm. So just learning. Every day is a different day. Every day is a new day, and I'm responsible for it all. So unfortunately, it all falls on my head. But just learning and working through it. How about y'all?
Still, Adam?
Yeah, well, appreciate that. That's I love the way you start with that. Well, coming to you from my parents' laundry room, this is like real life. It's one of the benefits in some ways of being an entrepreneur. I mean, I technically work for a corporation. I have a job. But working with entrepreneurs, I'm kind of can be entrepreneurial in a lot of ways, have some of that flexibility, but also, you know, traveled this morning and flew on a plane and, you know, deal with all that stuff. So coming to you from a laundry room, this is real life. It's happening now. And I can't complain. I always say to the founders and to my kids, frankly, that this is just good advice, I think. That I've come across is I want the problems that I want. There's always going to be problems. So I try to like say, okay, now I have the problems I want and these are the problems I want. So I can't complain. Even though they're real problems and I have to deal with them, I have the problems I want. So I can't complain.
Love that. Love that. And for me, I'm just getting over a cold, feeling better, feeling like in good health. Hopefully my voice isn't too hoarse. Went to London, which was really dope for a wedding. Congrats to Toby and Anika. Going to be heading out again to North Carolina at the end of this week, too, for a graduation. So I feel like travel season's in full effect. So I'm just glad to be back on a pod, man. It's been some weeks. And I mean, this is going to be that energizer. Like, I'll tell you, like, guys, like today I woke up and a lot of people might feel this way, especially before you click to listen to this. Like, I'm tired. I might not want to do X, Y, Z. But as soon as I pivoted into thinking, like, I'm going to be able to learn a lot from this conversation. I feel like my whole mood changed. So I'm energized and ready to be here.
Definitely changing your mindset on the day, especially when things aren't looking the way that you want them to look, is a very big, important reminder. Keep that in mind because it can help for sure.
That's right. That's right. Definitely. So, Adam, why do you work?
I love that. Why do I work? I'm very aware that like for at my age and sort of stage of professional life, I get to kind of, again, work on some of the problems I want to work. So why I want to work on. So why I'm working now is because I want to build things that I care about, period. And I want to build them with people that I care about. So That's been a big one for me, like trying to get to the point where I could, you know, my, I grew up with immigrant parents, right? They came from Cayman Islands in Jamaica. And so mostly they just wanted me to be a doctor or a lawyer. And it was one of the two. And, you know, if you got one of those, you were good. And so that was like security was why you would work. And I got lawyer, I went to lawyer and got to the security, realized security kind of wasn't where I wanted to stop. And it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough of a reason for me. You know, you had money, you had security and all that, but like that wasn't what I wanted. So now I'm kind of working with the opportunity for upside and building things that are exciting. And like, that's why I work now. I work to see things that I imagine in my head come, you know, into fruition. That's what I work for.
That's so cool because like talking to you over these years, if I didn't see your LinkedIn, I wouldn't have known that you were a JD. Like, you got a law degree.
I feel like a lot of lawyers, when they get to a certain point, they just forget the JD exists, especially if they're not big on law in and of itself. Because I know a lot of them, especially like professors right now, at least teaching like college courses and stuff, don't really. They're like, oh yeah, I do have a JD, but by the way, we're focused on something irrelevant to law. And I'm like, okay, well that's nice. Yeah. Why did you get the JD in the first place? I guess this is my question, and why don't you use it now?
Yeah, I mean, I got it because the real reason is, well, there's two reasons. The first reason was I wanted to make my parents proud. I wanted to fulfill that thing that felt like, here's the goal you have in front of you. If you can reach this goal, you're successful. So I wanted to do that. Two, the real reason I think inside me, I wanted to prove I could do it. I didn't realize that until I had it, you know, but I wanted to prove to myself I could do it. And then once I had it, I was really, really happy about that. And then I was like, oh yeah, but that's not enough. Like that doesn't take me very far. Cause I had this great job making more money than I had ever made. And I was, you know, had the wood paneled office and I had a nice car and I felt like I was in a very, very beautiful prison. Like I didn't see my children as much as I wanted to. I didn't see my wife as much as I wanted to. And I was working on other people's ventures. Like, I had to be the guy who basically, you know, covered their tracks. And I was like, that's not who I want to be for the rest of my life. I'm too young to be, you know, giving up on my dreams for somebody else's right now in this beautiful prison that's just about money. But yeah, the reality is I wanted to make my parents proud. I wanted to fulfill their wishes for me. And I wanted to prove I could do it. That's why I got it. So, yeah.
That's definitely, I can definitely resonate with that as a fellow Caribbean as well. Like even just coming from an immigrant background, just knowing that your parents are like, we want you to succeed here. So do the thing that we think is going to be the end all be all. And then it's inevitably sometimes for some of us, it's like you make that realization before you get there. It's like, this is not what I want to do. I'm not going to waste my time. Or you get there and you're like, well, I'm going to just do the thing. And then once you get there, it's like, well, what now? Like, is this fulfilling me? And for you, I guess it clearly wasn't. So what is fulfilling you now? And what is driving you to wake up every day? Is it your family? Is it, again, bringing the ideas that you have to life? And is your family a part of those ideas? How do you explain what you're doing now?
No, 100%. And a lot of this, honestly, is themed with the family that I created with my wife. And we have three kids. So I didn't go straight to law school. My parents would have loved it if I went straight to law school. I did not do that. I was a teacher for years and then I went to law school for 3 years and then I went to law school. But that whole time, basically, we were growing a family. Like I got married fairly young and we started having kids, you know, when I was about, I guess, 29. So in my 20s, early 30s, you know, we're having kids. And so like my career's kind of coming up with my kids at the same time. And so I'm like, you know, I'm recognizing, oh shoot, like this is a real thing. I'm building a career. Career is a real thing you build, and it exists outside of you, but it's largely mine, and it affects my family, but it's largely about me. But obviously, I had these great kids, and I had this wife I wanted to stay married to. I mean, they literally told me, and this is not a lie. They told me at orientation for law school. Somebody told me, and this is a rando potentially. This is somebody I went to law school with, but you know, who knows what they said. Are you married? And I said, yeah, I'm married. Been married for a couple of years. He said, well, you should get divorced now because everybody who's a lawyer is always on their second or third wife. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to do that. My wife was here before you guys. She's going to be here afterwards. So, you know, I felt like I wanted to grow the family too. I wanted to be there for important stuff. I wanted to make games. I wanted to coach my kids and, you know, like all that stuff that that was important to me too. And I wanted to grow that alongside my career. And I just didn't want to give too much of one. I wanted to also be ambitious and exciting and excited about my work and, you know, push the boundaries. But I also wanted to like go to baseball games and coach soccer and, you know, cut orange slices and do all that stuff. So balancing that was like the work of my 20s and 30s. And then like getting the opportunity to kind of pivot from law, that opened up the door to, oh, okay, now I can grow the life that will include my kids. You know, I'll build something that I can hand to them. It, you know, it's bigger than that. It's still, obviously it's a challenge, but it's a much more integrated challenge, which I love.
Yeah. I just want to highlight that parallel that between what you experienced and what a lot of founders experience. It happens to many of us, you know, some people are still working on our DAOs, you know, in 2024, you know, some might still be working on something. I don't want to get too deep into it, but there's moments where just like the person told you, if you continue on this path, you're not going to experience the benefits that you're looking for. Whether that's, you know, for a founder, this market is officially saturated. Unfortunately, it's too late. This technology is outdated, but when the writing's on the wall, it's then the, you know, ball is completely on your court. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to change? Are you going to kind of live in the la-la land? Are you going to try and make it work for a certain amount of time? How long was that transition between hearing that, you working in the space, and you saying, I just got to take a step away from this for the benefits that you're currently living in now?
That's a great question. So that was at the very beginning of my legal career. It was law school, and it was years. It was 7 years probably before I really completely stepped away the first time. And I mean, I still practice here and there after I sort of went to entrepreneurship. Actually, it was more than that. It was 10 years. So I practiced for a good long time, went to law school, practiced, was dealing with like, you know, taking different kinds of jobs. I actually started at a private firm. Was making the good money, and that was the wood paneled office with the nice car and the long hours. And eventually ended up working for DOT. I was a senior attorney and director of innovation at DOT. And honestly, that work was a breath of fresh air. I loved it because one, the hours were regular and they, you know, like I got home at a decent time and I could coach and I could do all that kind of stuff. I loved that. But the mandate was also really, really clear. It was safety above all, essentially. It was intellectually stimulating. It was difficult. It was challenging. I got to work with like, you know, teams of attorneys for Exxon and, you know, Chevron that were kind of on the other side of the table. And I got to be the one attorney fighting the 20, you know, well-paid guys in the great suits, which I took as like a fun challenge and was enjoyable. But it was also like, you know, again, like I could leave at 5:30 and I could go home, and, you know, it was understood that I would be leaving typically at 5:30. And that was a big difference maker for me. It still wasn't enough, but it was great. I appreciate it. That was like 10 years. So,
yeah. Hopefully we aren't dragging it, but, this whole concept is because a lot of our viewers are, you know, 14 and up, 18, going through college, going through their first MBA program. So to be able to hear the real ins and outs of what can be a fruitful career, even if you're, you know, 22 or 25, you know, there's something further down the line that's worth you getting into these spaces, especially, you know, if you can be, you know, that face that people haven't seen before, you know, when you think of DEI and just, you know, how you can make places more equitable.
So, yeah. And I would say that's true for young people. You know, the thing that I struggled with when I first decided or thought, oh shoot, maybe law's not the final answer, was should I just not do it? And it would have been a huge mistake to not finish. It would have been a massive mistake to not just get the JD, not get the qualification and the license essentially to print money, you know, and to like access to the jobs. It opened up so many doors for me. And it's the only reason, frankly, I'm a full-time investor now, is that I got a JD, which seems random. But I was cheaper than the startup I joined, the VentureBack startup I joined. It was cheaper to hire me as part of the startup, you know, crew, the first three employees, than it would be to hire a lawyer. So like it was my entree in. And also a JD proves that you can work hard, you know some stuff, and you probably are resourceful. So they hired me as an early employee in a VentureBack startup, and that's how I got my start. So Like it, just because you don't love something 100% doesn't mean you still can't get the asset and qualify yourself and do the thing and take that asset away and then do something interesting with it, you know?
100%. I mean, Alair, did you graduate like by the time Upfront, like Capital got started? Same with Mindset. Yeah. I was like a sophomore in college.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what happened with me. I mean, we started it in undergrad 2020. I was almost done. I was in my dual program, so I got my master's around the same time too. So, yeah, 2021, I would say, came out with both of them, and the business was, you know, in flight, as we say. Yeah.
That's dope.
Been a great journey. Adam, I did want to ask, have you been here in Baltimore area for the entirety of your life? I know that you said you migrated here somehow through the family and all that. Yeah. So how did you get wrapped up in Baltimore and in this ecosystem from going from law school to doing what you do now with startups?
Good question. How did they trap me is what you're saying. That's what you want to know.
Maybe. No.
No, I'm from Buffalo, which is where I am right now. That's the laundry room where my laundry room is in Buffalo, New York. From Buffalo. Went to school in Chicago, worked for Chicago, out of Chicago for years. We moved. My wife is from the DC area. She's from Arlington, Virginia. So we were actually back in the area, but now I was working out of Chicago. So I was flying, you know, spending a couple of days there every month, flying at least once a month. That's where I met kind of the Techstars crew. That's where sort of my first exposure to Techstars at all. And with Neil Sales Griffin, and I was an EIR for their, or mentor first in their program and an EIR for part of their work in Chicago. Then got introduced to, ironically, I was living in DC, but got introduced to the DC crew through Chicago Techstars, became an EIR out there. And then the job opened up for the MD in Baltimore. So they approached me because they knew I was local and I was a Techstars person already. And so I was kind of in their system. And yeah, the rest is history. So now I'm wrapped up in Baltimore.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so one thing I wanted to, while we're on this topic of just understanding why you work, finding your way in Baltimore and like the ecosystem, mm-hmm. we'll definitely get into to what kept all of us, you know, involved in the Baltimore yeah. ecosystem. But like, what are some things or who are some people that inspire you? Feel free to name books or TED Talks, but we all come from a great, strong family background of hardworking people. But what and who inspired you along the way?
Yeah, it's a great question. For sure, I'd say absolutely my parents. Both of my parents, is, you know, they're so funny because even just talking to them a few minutes ago, their personalities are still so similar, even though they've changed over the 40 plus years I've known them. Their personalities are so much the same as they used to be. And, you know, they're so formative for me in different ways. And I just can't say enough about how important they were for the good. And, you know, just really, 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 really special parents I have. I would say early on, the book Watership Down, I always talk about Watership Down. That was a big, kind of milestone in my, I think, youth development. That was one of the first kind of political thrillers, I guess, or my sense of the political world when I, you know, like imagined myself out into the world. I like what other people were like. Watership Down was very formative for me. I don't know if you guys know that one. That's the rabbit book. If you've never read it, you should read it, young people. It's very, very, it's a story. It's basically like a traveler story. It literally is rabbits. It's a story of, you know, two rabbits who get involved in, kind of a conflict between two warrens and like their travels between the multiples. And it's an adventure story. It's about fear. It's about anger. It's about love. It's about loyalty. It's about so many things. Watership Down was hugely formative for me. I still think about it. I've read it probably six times. I would say in terms of, you know, kind of who I listen to, people wise, I'm also kind of a fan of like, Plato. I love Plato. I still read The Republic. I still read all sorts of like, I still try to do philosophy. I did a philosophy minor in college. So, philosophy in general, but Plato specifically, those are kind of the things that when all else fails, that's what I go back to. I feel like there are tent poles in my intellectual life, and those are certainly some of them. So,
yeah, I mean, we can talk about it. We can have a Socratic, oof, discussion.
But I think those are hugely valuable. They're great. I used to do them. I used to do them when I taught college.
We haven't even done that since university. So I was like, brain blast. I got it.
But I just want to highlight, just in even skimming, it seems like, again, the goal, the main point in the Republic is the importance of just being in the world, and just by being is makes someone happy. It's not cars, jewelry, you know, nine other things. It's the fact that you woke up and you can exist and you can have the choice to, you know, exist in your life is what happiness is.
Yeah, and it's like the Republic is basically about the organization of our internal and external lives. So what are we doing all this for is essentially the underlying question. And how do we put together our thoughts, our relationships, our like the clothes we wear, the roles we take on, all that to organize our lives in ways that are meaningful. And I don't agree with all of the sort of end of all of it, but I love the way he thinks through. I think life in a lot of ways is what we, it's what we kind of put on. It's what we pick up and we walk around with, you know what I mean? And we're all representing ourselves all the time, whether it be, you know, truthfully or untruthfully or hopefully, or sometimes, you know, like in a way that's less than hopeful, like we're all representing something about ourselves to the world in order to kind of evoke something from somebody else. So it's all about like those kinds of icons that we're all walking around with. So I find it fascinating. So,
yeah. And I see a connection real quick with Watership Down and the idea that these rabbits, they have to move from Warren, you know, this place that they've spent years or tied a lot of memories to in order to find something new and adapting new skills along that journey.
Yeah, and if you like those guys, Watership Down is such a good book. Everybody should read it. It was the first time I ever cried, I think, over a book, and I was probably 12 or something, or it's the first time I remember crying over a book because of that very point you're talking about. Like there was this very sensitive rabbit, and he was Fiverr, I think his name is, and I forget the guy he was going along. Not Fiverr. Oh, I can't remember their names. But there were two of them. There was one who was kind of protecting the younger, weaker one. And I identified most, I think, when I was 12 with the one who was protecting the younger, weaker one. But I think there's so much of each of us in both of those rabbits. And it was powerful. I thought it was great. Still very good. We should all
look like for a second.
He lost you for a sec, Adam.
Oh, whoops. Am I back?
Yep.
You are.
Okay.
You're contrasting or comparing you to that protective like figure in the book.
Oh yeah. I think as a 12-year-old, I thought I was that. I thought I was the like looking out for the little brother rabbit, but I think I see myself in both of them as I get older too. So, and in the crazy rabbits that were attacking them and the warlike rabbits, and it's good. It's a book about rabbits. It's random, but it's good.
It's good to know. No, good to know. It's and the thing that we had when we were like prepping show notes is like, what's the through line in this, in your career, in the story? And I think it's so evident. It's life is about the journey. The fact that you can put, you know, feet down, the fact that you can, you know, angle yourself towards the next position in life, no matter what, you know, status that you have. Just keep going and you'll find that happy and in being truly and authentically yourself.
That's interesting. Yeah. I used to reject that concept as a kid. I didn't like the idea. I wanted to be something. But really now I just want to become something. Like as an older person who's, you know, lived long, I want to become something. I still feel like I have two more lives to live, hopefully before I'm dead. And like, why not? Like, why not? Let's become something else. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And what would that be for you? If I may ask, right? Like we all have a grandiose idea of how we want to make our own impact or who we want to be or become. You know, for myself, I always want to be that person that's providing opportunities for those who didn't already have them, because, you know, for me, sometimes when you don't have the bestest of grades or even though you may be like the hardest worker, right? People don't see that because all they see at the end of the day is just that GPA or that number at the end of the day that you've made. They don't see the hard work that goes into, you know, you learning how to create those skills that you need to survive, right? How would you say your vision for yourself, being this old person that you are, not really old, but, you know, how would you see, you know, yourself kind of leaving that impact for people to follow along, maybe for your family? Is this like a, you know, family empire kind of thing that you're trying to build for yourself? Or is this a personal project that you just want people to remember you for?
I'm sort of convinced nobody will remember me outside of, like, you know, 1.5 generations out. And I'm okay with that. I'm not trying to build, I don't want any statues, but I really, really want to, I want to be somebody who recognizes and can capitalize on value. Like, that's, I want to be able to see things that matter and, like, appreciate them and capitalize on them in the right way, not exploit negatively, but use them in a way that is, I want to see people who have something valuable in them and help them pull that out and use it for themselves. Like, that's what I try to do with founders. I try to look around and see the thing that makes my brain light on fire about them and then help them see it. Like, that's easier said than done. Like, it's hard to do because you just can't look inside yourself. It's what people did for me. And it's, to me, it's like the most valuable thing I think that gets done, was done for me. So I try to do it for other people, is be like, hey, I see this thing in you. I see this thing. Like, I'm still seeing it. It's still there, you know? So that's what I'm trying to do.
For sure. Appreciate that.
Awesome. Well, we'll get into another topic soon enough, but thank you. We're going to get into it after a short break. This is Why Y'all Working. Peace.
Awesome.